Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And that music can only mean one thing. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us. Tim, we appreciate you for joining us a day later than usual, but appreciate you for being here nonetheless. I want to get to this because I am so fascinated by the standoff between Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore Ravens placed the unexclusive franchise tag on Lamar Jackson yesterday, but there have been several teams that have come out, the Commanders, the Dolphins, who have said, hey, look, we're not interested in pursuing Lamar Jackson. What do you make of this situation, and do you ultimately think that Lamar will be a Raven come 2023?
I think that he'll be a Raven. I actually said I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, like I thought that the Ravens would apply the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar, because what appears to be going on, at least to me, is that, look, Lamar wants, certain guarantees in his contract, you know, at a level that probably resets the market. And, you know, the Ravens are in a position where they're like, look, we're not going to do that. Like, we'll sign you to a starting quarterback deal and give you a bunch of money guaranteed and all that, but we're not going to reset the market, you know, and have it be all fully guaranteed. And so, you know, Lamar's refusal to accept anything other than that, I think, puts them in a situation where, like, all right, fine, we can't come to an agreement. We're going to place a franchise tag on you. Now, putting the exclusive tag on him at $45 million for the year versus the non-exclusive at 32, I think is a no-brainer for the Ravens, because if Lamar goes out and gets a 4-year, $200 million contract from the Washington Commanders that's fully guaranteed, the Ravens can then say, all right, yeah, we'll sign you to that deal. Or they could say, no, that's not something we want to commit to, and give us your two first-rounders. And I think that the Ravens would actually, you know, probably, you know, sign him to that deal. So I'm actually surprised, Caroline, I got to be honest. I'm surprised at kind of like the outrage I'm seeing from people, like, hey, how could the Ravens do this? Like, in some ways, if Lamar is right that the market out there is that everybody is going to want him and they're going to want to give him a Deshaun Watson type deal, then the Ravens did him a favor by putting the non-exclusive tag on.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. I completely agree with you, because I don't think that Lamar Jackson at this point has the skins on the wall to be able to flex that kind of muscle and use that kind of leverage. If Joe Burrow demands a fully guaranteed contract from the Cincinnati Bengals, the Bengals are going to give it to him, because Joe Burrow is just that important to the Bengals organization. But if you Lamar, a quarterback who's finished the last two seasons on the bench, he just doesn't have that same kind of leverage and cannot demand that kind of money.
Well, and I would just say this, like, let's say that Burrow after this season, okay, so Joe Burrow this year is going to be on the fourth year of his rookie deal. And so let's say after this season, Burrow is like, hey, I want a new deal. I want it fully guaranteed. The Bengals can sit there and go, well, wait a second. We're actually just going to pick up your fifth-year option.
True.
So we'll pay you like $30 million next year. Then we'll put the franchise tag on you. So, like, you really don't have the leverage. Like, we still have two more years that we can, you know, have you under contract, you know, on essentially a previously, you know, negotiated term, you know, by your union. So, like, that's the other side of it for me, where it's like, until you are sitting there completely on the verge of free agency, you really don't have the leverage, because the team can just say, well, look, we're just going to franchise you, and you're going to play on that contract, or you're going to get fined. I mean, that's also how it works.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. And where Lamar is at this point you know, he doesn't necessarily not having those fifth year options. It's a different situation than Joe Burrow. But another domino that has fallen on the quarterback carousel is Derek Carr to the Saints. And I think that that move makes sense. I think that the Saints have just gotten better now that they have Derek Carr. But now I think the New York Jets are a very interesting player in all of this. That now that they're what I interpreted to be their backup plan, if they didn't get Aaron Rodgers, meaning Derek Carr, isn't there, it's almost like the Jets are all in on Aaron Rodgers. And if they don't get him, they're going to be caught with their pants down without a quarterback.
I agree with that. And I think the Jets have been all in, you know, from the jump on this. You know, they're one of the few teams, I think you could look at them and say, you know, with real good confidence, it's a really good football team that's being held back by their quarterback, right? Like, you can look at various teams and, you know, have an issue with the quarterback, but, you know, you can't say, hey, it's only the quarterback that's holding them back. So, like, for example, people look at the Minnesota Vikings and they say, well, hey, Kirk Cousins, you know, he doesn't play great in these postseason games. Like, they have a historically bad, you know, pass defense. Like, there are other factors that are also holding that team back. I think when you look at the Jets, I think many people believe it's a championship caliber defense. I think when they look at the offense, you think, man, some really talented, you know, offensive skill position players, you know, and they would be playing much, much better if the quarterback play wasn't handcuffing everybody. And so I think the Jets, they've kind of always been the fit. I think they've always been kind of all in. I think they've kind of let people know that they're all in on it. And I think that's kind of how you have to approach these scenarios when someone becomes available. It's like, look, if you're going to get into that game, you just better make sure you get them. And that's certainly going to be the challenge for Joe Douglas and that group in New York.
So, Tim, as you look at that, do you think any other team, Raiders, whoever else it might be, might really be a player? What's the competition for the Jets, and where do the Packers stand on that?
Yeah, I think the Raiders could absolutely be competition. And another team, I know it's going to sound crazy, and another team that I think possibly could be competition is the 49ers. So, you know, now I would say this. I'm not sure that all of those are real, but I've kind of heard that all of them are real. And so I think
49ers,
you kind of get, yeah, and you just think about the 49ers. Like, the 49ers don't have too much money invested at the quarterback position. You know, their main compensation has been, you know, the picks that they gave up to get Trey Lance. But Trey Lance is on a rookie deal. Brock Purdy is on a deal where you essentially, I mean, many guys in his scenario don't even make the football team. So, you know, taking on Aaron Rodgers' contract is not something, when you look at money that would be allocated to the quarterback position, is not insurmountable. So, yeah, I think that I can't say that they're out of it. And look, who's their quarterback going to be on September 15th?
That's a real question. That's a real
and
question.
The other aspect of it is this. Do they need Aaron for more than 1 year? Like, do they – I guess
– I think if you're the 49ers, you could make the case, we'll go year to year because we have the group. We have McCaffrey. Yeah. We have the guys who are in a position to win right now. We're going for it. This is our window. So do you think Aaron Rodgers – yeah, do you think Aaron Rodgers would see that for whatever team and do what you know, Brady supposedly did all those years? And that's I'll make the contract work. Maybe turn over a new leaf and say, look, I need something new here. I'll work with you on the contract.
Yeah, well, so I don't know what Aaron would do. Would he potentially? He would. He's made a lot of money. And so – you know, he's not going to work for free for anybody, but like, do you do something or do you give them some type of guarantee of like, hey, listen, like, I'm not going to year to year you. I will fully commit to you for 2 years. Or like, is there something that can be done to make it worthwhile?
Like, I think that could happen. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't just have to be like, hey, what is the salary? What are you going to make from the team? Well, hey, will you sign an extension with us so that we can allocate this money in a different way and kind of kick the can down the road? And look, maybe we'll be in, you know, salary cap hell, you know, 4 years from now when, you know, we have money allocated to you and you're not playing football. Like, yeah, look, that could happen too. So look, when I first heard it, Willie, I thought, no, why would they do that? And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, wait a second. All the things you just said, they're kind of a ready-made team. And they've got talent everywhere on both sides of the ball. They've got a good coach. They've got a very good general manager. And those two guys, in terms of coach and general manager, you know what they've been? They've been close. And then it just doesn't work. And so how do you get over the hump? How do you fix it? And for those guys, like, so what for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan if a few years from now they're scrambling a quarterback and they kind of beat themselves up salary cap-wise to go get Aaron Rodgers, like, if they can win a Super Bowl? Like, it'll be mission accomplished. Because otherwise, like, is Kyle going to win one as a head coach if he doesn't? You know, is John Lynch going to win one as a general manager if he doesn't? Probably not, to be honest. Like, so, look, when I first heard it, my knee-jerk reaction was like, no, that doesn't make sense. And then the more I think about it, it's like, yeah, I think that can make a lot of sense.
Go ahead, Willie.
Go ahead, Caroline. No, go ahead.
Well, let's pick it back up on the other side, because I think this is such an interesting conversation, and the 49ers are not a team that I have heard slated with Aaron Rodgers, but I do have one question about something that the Packers said that they're not going to do, which they would have to do if they did trade Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco, and I want to get into that with Tim coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, is with us. We're discussing the Aaron Rodgers saga. He is meeting with the New York Jets as we speak. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers have kind of been throughout this entire sequence of events yet again with Aaron Rodgers, the team that has kind of seemed like it made the most sense. But Tim points out the 49ers, which really would make sense. The 49ers run that same system, and the Niners are in a very unique situation where their long-term quarterback position is figured out, but in the short term, it's kind of a question mark with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance both suffering with injuries. But my only question is, with the 49ers and Aaron Rodgers' potential marriage, is would the Green Bay Packers be willing to trade Aaron to an NFC team? That's something they've come out and said they didn't want to do, but if that was their only trading partner, would they do it?
I think that you bring up a great point. Just look, there have been a bunch of times in the past people wanted to compare the, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre situations to being similar, and I don't think they ever have really been. Now, I think we finally are to a point where the situations are similar, where, look, maybe Aaron would prefer to go to the Niners. The path to the Super Bowl is certainly easier in the NFC than the AFC. That's a very good team. He's originally from California. And would like to be back there, I'm sure. Like, there are a lot of factors where you can see that being his preference. Much like Brett Favre, you know, would have preferred to go to the Minnesota Vikings right away. Well, you know, the Packers didn't want to trade him to the Vikings, and understandably so. And so he ends up with the New York Jets. And look, we could easily be in a scenario where, look, if you were the Green Bay Packers and compensation is somewhat similar for, you know, a trade for Aaron Rodgers, you absolutely would rather trade him to the Jets or the Raiders over a team in the NFC. So, yeah, I think that would be a factor. And I think that, you know, ultimately, it probably prevents Aaron from ending up in San Francisco, especially if, you know, the Jets' interest is as real as I believe it to be.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, what a great illustration of the leverage that the quarterback position has with the Daniel Jones deal. And also, without a whole lot of fanfare, Geno Smith does agree. And what a great story. He's come back from complete anonymity. Like, is that guy still in the league? Now he's got a three-year contract. It shows you put up good numbers as a quarterback, you are going to get paid.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look at we saw it here with Ryan Tannehill. You know, kind of had his best year at a time where, you know, it mattered the most. And, you know, the Ryan Tannehill situation is really, with the Titans, is really not all that, you know, dissimilar to what happened here. I guess it would have been in 2020 with the Titans. Right? You have two players that you want to sign, both up. You can only franchise one of them. And so then there becomes an urgency to get one of them under contract so that you can franchise the other one in hopes of getting a long-term deal. Like, that's what happened for the Titans, right? I'm forgetting the order, but I'm pretty sure Ryan Tannehill signs a deal. You know, there's the franchise tag at some point was placed on Derrick Henry. He ultimately ends up negotiating a long-term deal, right? You get them both under contract. Well, like, that's essentially what's happening in New York, or at least what they're hoping will happen in New York, in that, you know, you get Jones under contract. You know, he probably benefits from, you know, the team wanting to get him under contract quickly because letting, you know, Barkley get to the market, you know, you maybe end up losing him. So now you can franchise Barkley, and hopefully, you know, he is desiring some type of long-term security that you can sign him to a longer-term deal. I feel like what's happening for the Giants, you know, there's basically a roadmap for it, you know, done here in Tennessee in 2020.
I do wonder, once the Rodgers thing shake out, now you've got Jones, you've got Carr, you've got Geno Smith all signing new deals. You got a pretty set market. Will the teams that do not win the Rodgers sweepstakes circle back to the Titans and make a pretty good offer for Tannehill? How high do you think the offer could possibly be for a Tannehill, for a desperate team?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's great. And that's why, like, go back probably a few months talking to you guys, I've always felt like Ryan Tannehill was a better candidate for extension than getting released or traded. The reason I say that is this. His cap hit in 2022 is $38.6 million. It's a big cap number, and it's a dead cap of $57 million. You know, in 2023, you know, he has a cap hit of $36 million. And a dead cap hit of $18 million, so, or almost $19 million. So, like, I just kind of feel like if you were going to trade him, I think there would have to be some type of reworked contract. And I feel like, honestly, I think if you're the Titans, you're more apt to just redo the deal with him yourself. So that's how I've always seen that side of it. That's why it's just, like, funny to me. I don't know. Like, the path to, you know, everyone talking about all these teams that could be interested in Lamar Jackson. Like, people like say, hey, the Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins don't have a first-round draft pick to give up. So, like, they're out. You know, a team like the Titans. It's like, but guys, the Titans, you know, are on the hook for, you know, with Ryan Tannehill, you know, for, you know, a nearly a $40 million cap hit. Like, what? How are you doing this? So, I don't know. I feel like Ryan Tannehill is more likely to be extended, which I don't – right now I don't think is going to happen. But I think that's more likely than somebody saying, like, yeah, we'll trade for Ryan Tannehill and take his contract. And, like, I don't see that happening.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. How did the combine change your mind at all, if at all, about the quarterbacks in this year's draft?
I don't think it changed my mind at all because, like, I think, let's kind of the issues on it. Like, Bryce Young's size. Like, I don't know, probably around what I thought that he would be. Probably a little heavier than I thought he would be, probably a little shorter than I thought he would be, but like doesn't change what I think of him as a player. You know, the guys that threw at the combine, like, expected them to throw great. It's why they chose to throw at the combine, because they're really talented throwers. And I mean, you know, Stroud, Levis, and Richardson. I think I would say the only thing that I guess would say like was a bit eye-opening or eyebrow-raising. Like, I know Anthony Richardson is a freak athlete. I think how freaky of an athlete, even though you knew he was going to test extremely well, I think that at least grabs your attention a little bit. But that would not change, you know, if I were a team like the Raiders who was maybe going to draft him, it wouldn't change how I wouldn't have been, hey, no, I'm not drafting him, and now I am because of his combine numbers.
And last one for you, Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Why do you think the Chiefs decided to not franchise tag Orlando Brown?
You know, that's a great question. That one was surprising to me. I think that, look, I think that people are just saying, look, we're going to, based on how we've graded somebody, what we think the market will dictate. You know, sometimes when teams do that, like, you know, we don't always know what the communication between the player or the player's representative has been in terms of, look, this is what we're looking for. I mean, chances are there's been that type of conversation between, you know, Brown's representatives and the Chiefs. And if it's just like, look, we're not in the same ballpark, we kind of think that you are misreading the market. Like, we're going to go ahead and, like, we're basically, like, we think our information is better than your information. But that's what I think, because I think he's a good player. I think he's perceived to be a good player. But how good of a player? And then also knowing the guy's injury stuff in terms of what he's dealing with each and every week. I think that's probably it. Look, and I don't think it's really that, you know, different than what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson, saying like, okay, like you think that it's going to be easy to find over $200 million guaranteed. Like, go sign it. Like, go get it. And because we don't think it's out there. And look, so I think sometimes teams are right about it, and I think other times, you know, players guess right.
Tim Hasselbeck, we appreciate you for joining us every week. We'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Coming up next, we discussed Lamar Jackson, and I think this Lamar Jackson-Baltimore Ravens standoff is fascinating. But the way that it has played out up until now honestly doesn't really surprise me. And we'll discuss coming up next, and of course your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And hey, the college basketball tournament is right around the corner, and it is time for you to sign up to play the official game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now to sign up and play. Brackets will open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 12th. Caroline Willie-Demes, 1025-1063 The Game.